We want to take you now to a neighborhood in North Carolina where many of the men are missing. It's a predominantly black neighborhood. Many of the male residents are in prison now or have been in prison in the past. And the neighborhood is not that unusual. According to Justice Department figures, 1 out of 3 black men in this country has been to prison. That compares to 1 in 6 Hispanics and 1 in 17 white males. John Bewin of American Radio Works explores how those numbers affect that neighborhood in Durham, North Carolina.
I asked Steve Hopkins to join me on a driving tour of East Durham on a drizzly fall day.
If I wanted to take you down on South Street, to give you a sense where a lot of the guys hang out at.
Hopkins seems a well-qualified guide. He was born in Durham. He's active in his neighborhood, one of the city's poorest and toughest, Northeast Central Durham.
I'm a community organizer for the Durham Affordable Housing Coalition. I'm an ex-con.
Hopkins served several terms behind bars from the 1960s into the early 80s.
I did 7 years, all total. Armed robbery, burglary, kidnapping.
Now 47, Hopkins has lived prison-free for 20 years. But his neighborhood has not grown out of its problems. Most of the tiny homes have front porches. They were built for mill workers early in the last century. Now quite a few are boarded up. Young men on street corners stand in groups of 3 and 4. They give passing drivers a steady look.
Did you see him do that? He's trying to stop you, trying to sell you something.
He gave me kind of a thumbs up.
Yeah.
As in, yes.
Yes, and we got it right here.
Hopkins knows a lot of these young men, their families, and their histories.
And most of the drug dealers in this area are ex-cons.
Like most American cities, Durham has seen its crime rate fall since the worst years of the crack epidemic and gang violence in the early and mid-1990s. Now East Durham has the feel of a battle zone where the worst of the shooting is over, but the rebuilding hasn't yet begun.
This is Fayetteville Street Public Housing Community, and there's a lot of single-family females that live over here. Some of the absentee parents are in the penal system.
Tell me about this place. How many units here?
We have 200 units here. We have one unit that's out of our occupation because we have a police station there.
Joyce Snipes is president of the Housing Project's Resident Council.
We have probably about 2 couples that's married.
Out of
200, unfortunately. Very few fathers involved.
The tan brick apartments surround a Spartan grass courtyard crisscrossed by sidewalks. As we cross the grounds, a group of teenage boys approaches.
This is that little guy that's in the middle right there. He was shot about a couple of weeks ago in the face, and he's partially blind now. He was completely blind. He was shot at a teen's party.
The tallest boy walks between 2 other boys, his arms over their shoulders.
But they try to make it look like he's just a normal person to walk and hold him, hug him, rather than using a cane or a stick.
What's your name?
Humar.
Yeah.
But my name ain't Kevin, though.
Kevin?
Demetrius.
My name is Deshaun.
Dante.
Dante?
My name is Brandon.
Okay. How old are you guys?
15, 14, 16.
Kevin holds tight to his stepbrother, Deshaun, and another friend. His eyes don't seem to focus on anything.
Tell me about it.
The skin on his face is marred by small pockmarks from the pellets of a shotgun.
And I just got shot. He ain't mean to shoot me, he shot to shoot somebody else.
How much can you see?
A little bit.
A little bit. Just tell me about your families. You live with your moms?
Mm-hmm.
I live with my grandma. We all live with our mom. He live with his grandma.
What can you tell me about your fathers, any of you?
I don't stay with my father.
How about you, Dante?
Nah, my father locked up for life.
When's the last time you saw him?
About 6 years ago.
My dad ain't never been in jail.
I think mom been in jail one time. I don't know what for.
Then my mom been in jail before.
4 of the 5 boys say at least one of their parents has been to jail or prison.
Said it's like hell when your parents ain't there for you. Can't see my dad for a lifetime.
What would you want to say to him if you saw him?
I love you.
Steve Hopkins says in parts of East Durham, imprisonment has become much more pervasive since he was young. and harder to recover from.
In Durham, the ex-cons really don't have a chance.
Hopkins says his last parole officer in 1982 helped him get a construction job and a car. Now, because of changes in sentencing laws, more and more inmates are serving full terms and getting released with no parole, nobody even to check in with. And if you can get an entry-level job, it pays less than it used to. On another visit to the Fayetteville Street Housing Project, we meet Drita Perry. The father of her three children is in prison. She says she's not sure what for.
It's hard for them when they get out. Whatever the charge is, if you've been in prison, you got to lie about having a criminal record because they won't hire you. You got to lie and say, well, I don't have a criminal record. You get a job, you wait a while, and then they fire you.
Perry says in her neighborhood, so many of the men are in that predicament that she gave up finding a man.
I'm not looking. I can speak for it as a woman. The men is getting locked up. I mean, they can't get a job. So what's left? Pharmacy on the street, selling drugs.
Experts talk about incarceration as a form of churning, removing people from the neighborhood, then sending them back as a bigger drag on the community than they were before. Multiply that effect hundreds of times in a neighborhood, and heavy imprisonment can damage already fragile communities and wind up having the reverse of its intended effect. Sociologist Dina Rose and her colleague Todd Clear looked carefully at crime statistics in Tallahassee, Florida. They found that in the neighborhoods with the highest incarceration rates in a given year, crime went up faster the following year. They controlled for other factors affecting crime and reached a provocative conclusion.
There was a tipping point at which increasing the number of people in prison really increased crime in those areas. That's not to say that we shouldn't be incarcerating anyone, because at low and moderate levels it does have the desired effect, and there are clearly people in these neighborhoods that need to be removed. But it does mean that we need to think about our use of incarceration very carefully and try to think about the ways in which incarceration as a process of removing and returning people can destabilize communities in general.
If you were mayor, if you were governor, if you were president, all roll into one.
Okay.
And got to run the world.
I ask Steve Hopkins, the community activist and ex-convict, what he would do to make things better in East Durham.
I would make sure that everybody from the age of 18 and up had a safe, decent place to stay. And then I will evaluate where they are and what they want out of life and make sure that they had the skills to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. And I would help them create the jobs by meaning to do it. But I see now a big disconnect. People would rather lock you up and throw the keys away than to try to help you really discover who you are and to help you become who you can be. And that's a waste of people. We cannot afford to just throw people away like that, like yesterday's shoes.
With more than 2 million Americans behind bars, 600,000 people are now leaving prison every year. Roughly half of them get locked up again within 3 years for new crimes or parole violations. Some strapped state governments are looking for ways to cut their corrections budgets, for example, by sending drug criminals to treatment instead of prison. North Carolina had slower growth in its prison population than many states in the 1990s, but is now catching up. The state is building 3 new 1,000-bed prisons and plans to add 3 more over the next few years. For NPR News and American Radio Works, I'm John Biewen in Durham, North Carolina.
And American Radio Works, of course, is the national documentary unit of Minnesota Public Radio, which produced that report. Photos from East Durham and a longer version of this report can be found at our website at npr.org.